Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving devotional service unto the personality of God at whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto, chapter 8. Today's verse is 16. Pramanam anda koshasya payabhyantara bhedataha mahatam chanucharitam varnashrama vinishchayaha. Pramanam anda koshasya payabhyantara bhedataha mahatang chanucharitam varnashrama vinishchayaha. Pramanam andakoshasya bhayabhyantara bhedataha mahatang chanucharitam varnashrama vinishchayaha. Pramanam andakoshasya bahyabhyantara dvedataha mahatam chanucharitam varnashrama vinishchayaha. Please chant. Mahatam Chanucharitam. Chaitanya. Pramanamanda Koshasya. Bhayabhyantara Vedataha. Ananta Velas. Vaishnavis. Pramanam andakoshasya. Bahyabhyantara vedataha mahatam chanacharitam varnashrama vinishchayaha. Okay, synonyms, pramanam, extent and measurement. Andakoshasya, of the universe. Bahya, outer space. Abhyantara, inner space. Pedataha. By division of Mahatam of the great souls. Cha. Also. Anucharitam. Character and activities. Varna. Castes. Ashrama. Orders of life. Vinischayaha. Specifically describe. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Also, please describe the inner and outer space of the universe by specific divisions, as well as the character and activities of the great souls, and also the characteristics of the different classifications of the castes and orders of social life. Please repeat. Also, please describe the inner and outer space of the universe by specific divisions, as well as the character and activities of the great souls, and also the characteristics of the different classifications of the castes and orders of social life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Maharaj Parikshit is a typical devotee of Lord Krishna, and as such, he is anxious to know the complete significance of the creation of the Lord. He wants to know the inner and outer space of the universal form. It is quite fitting for the real searcher of knowledge to know all about this. Those who are of the opinion that the devotees of the Lord are satisfied with mere sentiments can find in the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit good lessons as to how inquisitive a pure devotee is to know things in their true perfection. The modern scientist is unable to know about the inner space of the universal horizon and what to speak of the space which covers the universe. Maharaj Parikshit is not satisfied with only material knowledge. He is inquisitive about the character and activities of the great souls, the devotees of the Lord. The glories of the Lord and the glories of his devotees combined together comprise the complete knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna showed his mother the complete universal creation within his mouth, while she, completely charmed by her son, wanted to look inside the mouth of the Lord just to see how much earth the child had eaten. By the grace of the Lord, the devotees are able to see everything in the universe within the mouth of the Lord. The very idea of the scientific divisions of four classes of human society and four orders of life is also inquired about herewith on the basis of individual personal quality. The four divisions are exactly like the four divisions of one's personal body. The parts and parcels of the body are non-different from the body, but by themselves, they are only parts. That is the significance of the whole scientific system of four castes and four social orders. The value of such scientific divisions of human society can be ascertained only in terms of the proportionate development of devotional service to the Lord. Any person employed in government service, including the president, is a part and parcel of the entire government. Everyone is a government servant, but no one is the government himself. That is the position of all living entities in the government of the Supreme Lord. No one can artificially claim the supreme position of the Lord, but everyone is meant to serve the purpose of the supreme whole. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacadeshtarani Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chankshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanbutam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanbutangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bando Jagatpate Opesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancho Kalpaturubya Shah Kripasanduva Evacha Patitanang Pavanebyo Vaisavibyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maharaj Parikshit, having grown up in the household of, who was his father? Abhimanyu. And who was Abhimanyu's father? Arjuna. And who was Arjuna's father? Well, we say Pandu, but we know it's actually Lord Indra. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj is completely connected to the entire cosmic reality, you could say. And having grown up in that household, Yudhishthira Maharaj being the head at that time, he knew or had very good understanding of reality. But above and beyond just an understanding of reality, you understood that everything is coming from and is controlled by and connected to Krishna. This is the point. Not just some impersonal inquiry here. Tell me about Mars and Venus and what is Pluto really a planet or is it just a, you know. No, not some impersonal inquiry going on here. He knows in advance that everything is coming from, controlled by and connected to Krishna. This is the point. There is a personality behind everything. Behind anything impersonal, there is person. We know that intrinsically and we experience it. In this one block, there are so many residential buildings, including all our temple and the gift shop and all of our residences and everything else. No two are alike. Every one of these buildings are different. On the surface, it's an impersonal manifestation. Bricks, mortar. But behind every single building, there are persons. There's an architect, engineers, construction workers. There's personality behind every impersonal manifestation. Behind this iPad, somebody designed it. It's manufactured. Every single little part in there is designed and manufactured. So ultimately, there's no impersonal manifestation without a personality behind it. We know that. These glasses, everything that looks impersonal has persons behind it. Somebody designed these glasses and constructed the frame and ground the glass that goes into it. Every single impersonal manifestation has personality behind it. Every vehicle. No two vehicles are alike. We know why is there so much variety of vehicles? Why not just one car? Well, in some countries, at least at some point in time, there was only one car, a Lada, you know, or a Fiat. But even in those countries, no two Ladas are alike. If you get this same exact model, you customize it, right? You put your own wheels on it. You have some, you know, thing hanging from the rearview mirror. So every manifestation is personal and personalized. But still, the modern scientists would have us believe that ultimately there's no personality. There's no person behind the whole thing. And Krishna states that in the Bhagavad Gita. He knows he's God. He knows their mentality. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadarhu anisharam. Aparasvara samrutam kim anyam kamahaitakam. This is in the 16th chapter. Krishna is describing the divine and demoniac natures. And he says, those who are demons, they say that there is no God. There is no creator. There is no one in control. It's all just happening by chance, fueled by sex desire. So the modern scientists, they also have that demoniac outlook. There is a, but they present it so nicely, it's packaged so nicely that people just swallow it as being factual. Like right now there's a National Geographic special called One Strange Rock, which is, the host is Will Smith. And the production values are so crisp and perfect. They show, you know, all these wonderful scenes around the earth, under the ocean, on mountains, everywhere. But the basics of their presentation is that it all just happened by chance. By chance, the universe came into being, and then by chance, this particular rock, one strange rock that we call the Earth, came into being, and sometime in the past, something happened, and some simple organisms came together. You know, wonderful production values. You can watch it, and you're just amazed at the things around this planet, but ultimately, they're presenting it all like it's impersonal. But as I just stated, as every single building, every single item that we have is designed and created by a person, the planet itself is designed and created by a person, the entire universe. So this is what Maharaj Parikshit is asking Shukadev Goswami to point out that behind all these impersonal manifestations, the entire universe, inner space, outer space, there are persons, and the ultimate person is Krishna. Not just God, but Krishna. He knows that Krishna is God. Krishna saved him while he was in the womb of his mother, when Ashwatthama sent that Brahmastra to burn him up. So he knew. And that's why he's named Parikshit. Parikshit means the examiner. So once he took birth, he was always examining everybody that he met. Is this a person that I saw in the womb of my mother? Is this a person? Is it? You see? Always looking for Krishna. So he knows. And he wants Shukadev Goswami, his guru, to point out clearly. And all the gurus point that out. Shukadev Goswami's guru is Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva's guru is Narada. And back in the fifth chapter of the first canto, Narada Muni informed Vyasadeva, Idami Bhishmam Bhagavan Nivetaro, Yatoja Gatstanam Naroda Sambhava, Tadhi Swayam Vedavam Tatapiti, Pradarsham Echam, Bhagavat Pradarshitam. He said that Idami Bhishmam Bhagavan Nivetaro, the Supreme Personality of God, is Himself the cosmos. So this cosmos that we're looking at, we're so fascinated by, is Krishna. It's a manifestation of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is there. He appears within it sometimes, but he's always there. He never disappears, just like we also don't disappear. So, Kunti also pointed out in the eighth chapter of the first canto, prayers of Queen Kunti appear in that chapter. And there's a nice verse there. I think it's 42 or 43. She says, Atav Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurti Sakeshu Me. She's pointing out, Ata, therefore, Vishva Isha. Krishna is the controller of this entire Vishva. Atapipesh Vishvatman. He is the soul of the universe. Just like our bodies are animate because we are in there, the soul animating this particular body. When the soul leaves, the body is no longer viable and nobody wants it. The body is attractive while the soul is there. As soon as the soul is gone, nobody wants that body. Nobody wants it. So the real attractive feature of the body is the soul, not these nails and hair and skin. And it's not ultimately attractive. Same thing with the universe. That's what she's pointing out. Just like the individual body has a soul that's animating it and making it seem attractive, Vishvatman, Krishna is the soul of the universe. And because he's there, the universe seems attractive. When Krishna withdraws, then the universe is no longer appealing. Ata Vishvesha Vishvamurti. And she calls him the personality of the form of the universe. So just as I was saying in the beginning, behind all form there is person. So behind the form of the universe is the Supreme Person. So this is what we should glean from this inquiry. It's not just asking about some impersonal, oh wow, there's Mars and you know I want to go and see what it looks like. Just like in the news lately, the founder of Amazon, Bezos, he said that he's going to take a ride into space. And some witty people are saying, yeah, don't come back. So it's not like that. Not just some foolish desire to go up high up in the sky so you can see the planet, you know. Because inevitably they come back. Prabhupada said that about the Russian cosmonauts. They were so proud of being up in the air in the Sputnik, but they were always looking, where's my Moscow? Where's my Moscow? You see? And eventually they have to come back. They can't stay up there artificially. So it's like that. We're not attracted by the cosmos just because it's there and we want to know. We know what's out there. How do we know? We hear from the Bhagavatam. All around this planet, the leaders, so-called leaders, are wasting so much money and so many resources on their foolish attempt to go into space just to see what's there. And to misuse it, just like they misuse the resources of this planet. They have plans to go to the moon and mine whatever minerals are there and send them back to the earth. Demoniac. When you think of it, how many billions, trillions of dollars have been wasted on this attempt to go to the moon and to Mars and so many. Now the Chinese are probably, because they also landed apparently some, you know, probe on Mars. How much money is wasted in this endeavor? If a fraction of that money was put into expanding Krishna consciousness, the world would be much better off for it. Prabhupada said, I was just reading recently, that if 5% of this planet will become Krishna conscious, it would be like a Vaikuntha planet. 5% only. So in the greater Los Angeles area, there are about 18 million people. Greater Los Angeles means, you know, city of Los Angeles, Long Beach, everything in immediate vicinity. About 18 million people. So 10% of that would be 1.8. Yeah. So what is half of 1.8 million? 900,000. So if 900,000 people in this immediate area would chant Hare Krishna, this place would be like Vaikuntha. How many do we have chanting Hare Krishna right now? A couple of thousand, maybe 5,000 if we're generous. So we have a lot of work to do. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Every day that we get up, we're supposed to be racking our brains. How can I make at least one more person chant Hare Krishna? If every one of us took that as our mission, just make one more person chant Hare Krishna. So if there are 5,000 of us chanting right now, and everybody made one more person chant Hare Krishna, then we're up to 10,000. And in this way, we keep expanding. That's what we're supposed to be. We're not so concerned about the immediate political environment or social environment or our mission given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and he accepted it from his spiritual master, going all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today is the appearance or disappearance of Srivas. Appearance. Yeah, appearance of Srivas Thakur. So he's one member of the Panchatattva. The Lord appears in five features. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. Lord Nityananda is his immediate expansion, Balaram. Then Advaitacharya is the expansion of the expansion, in one of the Purusha avatars. And then Gadadhar is the manifestation of the internal potency. And Srivas is the marginal potency. Abheda-bheda. Simultaneously one and different. There's no difference, you could say, between the five. They're all pure spiritual manifestation. But at the same time, there are distinctions. The marginal potency never becomes the supreme. You see? The marginal potency is always in the... But even on the platform of the expansions, they're always in the mood of service to the Lord. It's only the foolish conditioned souls who don't want to serve. They think everybody should serve them. How can I get you to serve me and you to serve me? And I may glorify you for your service, but ultimately I want to be served. But we learn as we grow older and we come to adulthood that if I simply have that gross attitude of wanting to be served, then nobody will want to be around me. So then I have to sugarcoat it. I remember your birthday and I do something for you, but that's because I want you to remember my birthday and do something for me. You see? That's the motivation. I tell you how nice you look because I want you to tell me how nice I look, you know, like that. So it's just business. It's a business transaction. So in this world, all the so-called nice relationships and even so-called love, it's just business. I love you because I want you to love me. And if you dare stop loving me, then I, you know, get out of here, like that. But Krishna's not like that. Krishna's love is unconditional, and our love to Krishna is supposed to be unconditional. And even when it's in the stage of not even manifest at all, when we're in the conditional stage, Krishna still loves us and Krishna still takes care of us. If Krishna, God, did not take care of us, every one of us could not do anything. We can't function. Everything that we have, that we depend on, air, water, food, relationships, everything is given by Krishna. If you had clean air and good food, but nobody to relate to, it would be no fun. Nobody would want to be the last person on this planet. Everything on the planet is mine. Finally, it's mine. But there's nobody to share it with. Nobody to interact with. You would not be happy. So everything that we have, that we depend on, is given by God. And that has to be acknowledged. And this is what we learn to acknowledge when we understand that the entire universe is Krishna's and it should be used in his service. Everything animate and inanimate is controlled and owned by the Lord. This is the Ishopanishad. So here it's also mentioned about Varna and Ashram. So yes, one of the missions of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to try to spread understanding of this Varna Ashram system. Because as Prabhupada said in the purport, it's scientific. It's not just somebody sat down one day and decided, oh, you know, let's devise society like that. No, Chaturvarnamayashtam guna karma bhagasa. Krishna says, this system is created by me. And even when it's not fully manifest, we see that there are vestiges of it everywhere. Everywhere you see these four classes of individuals. The administrative class, the intellectual class, the productive class, and the worker class. That's there everywhere. You cannot make it artificially all workers. And even in those systems where they try to do that, we're all one, everything belongs to the state, everybody here in the state is equal, still there's a supreme equal. Right? And Mr. Putin, you tell me that, you know, Joe Igor on the street is the same as Mr. Putin. No, it's not. If Mr. Putin says Joe Igor should disappear, Joe Igor disappears, you know, he's gone. So, even when they artificially try to make it, that everything belongs to the state, everybody in the state is equal, it doesn't work out that way. Because naturally, there has to be leaders. That's just nature. Prabhupada said, now you just have to decide who you want your leader to be. Do you want Mr. Putin or do you want Krishna? You see? Do you want Mr. Biden or do you want Krishna? This is a decision that we have to make. So the devotees always choose Krishna. It doesn't matter what's going on currently. Just like when Prabhupada went to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was saying that how are we going to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement when we're dependent, we're subjugated by the British? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, you don't worry about that. that's not our business. We're not trying to make some political revolution. We want to give the spiritual knowledge that we have gotten in the disciplic succession. And that will take care of everything. Because if we properly spread that spiritual knowledge, then people will demand good leaders. People will want Varna and Ashram. Because they see that it's a scientific way of running society that actually works. But that means training. So we're supposed to be the trainers. But are we actually acting on the platform of brahmanas and kshatriyas and vaishyas and shudras? Are we acting on that platform? If we're supposed to train, Prabhupada wanted Varnashram College, but in order to teach people what are the functions of the different varnas and ashrams, how are they supposed to behave, then we have to follow those things ourselves. So this is one of the things that are holding us back in presenting Varnashram properly to society, is that within our own society, we're not divided in that way properly. Loosely, we, you know, brahmanas and somebody's an administrative head of the temple or of the society, and we have an ashram with brahmacharis, but it's not really strictly according to the descriptions of the Shastra. Later on in the Bhagavatam, Narad Muni gives a very, very detailed description of all the different varnas and ashrams. So we know, and Krishna himself gives in the 18th chapter description of the mentality of a Brahmana and the mentality of a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So if we want to propagate Varnashram in the society at large, then we have to practice it internally. Understanding that ultimately bhakti is above all that. Bhakti is not dependent on it. But for smooth functioning of society, the Varnas and Ashrams should be propagated. Especially on the ashram side, because it will take quite a while to have proper varnas. Again, where brahmanas are properly trained and acting as brahmanas and kshatriyas and vaishyas. But the ashram side, within our society especially, we can propagate that. That we recommend that the parents be devotees, and as soon as they give birth to children, those children should be trained in the devotional line. Komaramache prakyo. Starting from age 5, they should be taught this Bhagavad Dharma. And we see, there's one nice YouTube channel, this couple from Germany. They have a channel called I Love Mayapur. And their son is in the Gurukul there. His name is Vamana. And so they regularly do some videos about what happens in the Gurukul, how the boys are being trained to cook and clean and this and that. And that's what's required from the very beginning. If you want good progeny, they have to be trained to be good progeny. It's not just by taking birth. Even the parents may be very good. But if the offspring are not trained, they're going to turn out bad inevitably, especially here in Kali Yuga, where everywhere they turn, they're bombarded with sense gratification. invitation to sense gratification. And they do it so nicely. Like I'm a member of the AAA, and every month they put out a magazine called West Waves. So I was looking through the recent one and came across this advertorial. When they have an editorial, that's really advertising. It's called an advertorial. So it was about gemstones, you know, particularly. And they presented so nicely, reading about these gemstones, that immediately I started thinking, oh, that's not bad. Maybe I should get one of these rings. You know, like that. It presented so nicely. Beautiful pictures. And it's this particular one was about turquoise. How it was, the Indians thought it was sacred and it represented the sky and, you know, and they set it in silver. And so I was thinking, yeah, maybe I should get a silver ring. They get into your head so insidiously. But that's what Prabhupada wanted his books to be. Nice paintings, windows to the spiritual world, and the whole book presented so nicely that anybody, if they just open it, like Prabhupada said, if anybody sees this Krishna book, immediately they want to know, who is this Krishna? Who is that girl with Krishna? Like that. So he wanted his books to have the same effect that these magazines have on the general public. Somebody pick up a Bhagavad Gita or Nectar of Devotion or Krishna book, they should immediately be attracted and they should wonder, you know, what is this all about? And in this way, they can pick up this knowledge of Varna and Ashram and the actual situation of the universe, not just some speculative thing like they have in this beautiful, you know, video, One Strange Rock. So much money went into making that. And the production values are so high, you can't help yourself. You look and it's, wow, look at that, look at that. But we know that behind all these beautiful manifestations is Krishna. Jai, I went a little long. Thank you very much. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.